soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters, on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. We roll on here, and of course, we are presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Two places you can find them. You can Houston, DaspitLaw.com, up in Austin, Texas. It's DaspitLaw.com. Austin.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekend. Biggest thing I can say to you folks is that John and his firm put money behind getting soccer on the radio. So think about that when you need a personal injury attorney, you get in a car accident, boat, motorcycle. John and his firm is there for you, and they're there for the game of soccer, which is even better. And you know what? We won't hold it against John that he's a Chelsea fan. So there you go. All right. Great friend of the show. Always brings tremendous insight. We go to the East Coast. He is the color analyst on MSG for the New York Red Bulls, former New York Cosmo, Olympian, you name it. Shep Messing is on the show now. Shep, how are you?
Hey, Glenn, great to hear from you. And as you know, I rarely do media anymore. I only do it for Soccer Matters and Glenn Davis. That's how much I think of you and your show. So thanks for asking. All good here in New York.
The case of very rare Spanish wines is on its way to you up there. All right, let's get going. So first of all, I just want to know, you know, East Coast to us, obviously, we're just coming out of this deep freeze and a pretty rough time down here. How's everything on the East Coast right now for you, your family, and just in general?
Yeah, well, Glenn, thanks for asking. Certainly, my heart goes out to everybody in your area. You know, it's a rarity what's happening out there in Texas, and we're unfortunately familiar with it, that kind of weather, those kind of outages, but you know, you feel for everybody hurt for it out in your area. Here in New York, the East Coast, look, the weather is bad, but New York City in particular is still going through the throes of the pandemic, social injustice. I mean, the city is a ghost town. You know, we're all thinking, how long will it take for New York City, Manhattan, to recover? You know, it's going to take a while. It's not the same city that it has been for the last 20 years.
Shep, do you go into the city often? I mean, visibly, do you see things like here in Houston? Visibly, I see a lot of closures. I see graffiti on empty buildings. I'm seeing a lot of signs of things that are concerning, obviously, with businesses being shut down, amongst other issues.
Yeah, 100% here, the same, Glenn. You know, areas like Lincoln Center, Fifth Avenue, stores boarded up, apartments closed, businesses out of business. I mean, it's really, really a ghost town. Hopefully, wherever it's happening all over the country, it comes back. But it's been difficult.
Shep Messing joining us. MSG does the games with the wonderful Steve Cangelosi, also a great friend in the business. All right, so the Houston Dynamo acquired Tim Parker. I mean, this is without a doubt the biggest off-season signing for Houston when it comes to affecting the team, affecting the roster and the future under Tab Ramos. I don't think there's any question. With all the games you've seen Tim Parker play out of St. John's and with Vancouver and with the Red Bulls, just take the Dynamo into fan into what they're getting here in Houston now with Tim Parker.
Well, if you're a fan, if you support the Houston Dynamo, you got to be jumping for joy. This guy is a player, Glenn, and I didn't see that much of him in Vancouver or at St. John's, but when he came to Red Bulls, he had to adjust his style of play a little bit differently because tactically Red Bull, you know, plays a different way, play with pressure, play a higher back line. Tim Parker, number one, has all the physical tools in the world. I mean, this guy is big and strong and agile. He's quick. He's fast. He's a tremendous athlete. And how he had to adjust to the Red Bull style of play really took him up another level. Now he had to learn to play with a high line. He had to play well with the ball at his feet, to play it out, to play out of pressure. He's a total player. And during his time at Red Bull, you know, he got a call up to the U.S. men's national team, with Aaron Long. Tim ended up not going back. I don't know why. I think he belongs as a central defender on the U.S. men's national team. We were shocked here in at Red Bull land when he was dealt to Houston. Look, if you dig into it, you can understand it a little bit in terms of both Aaron Long and Tim Parker had big salaries, right? A certain age. Red Bull wants to go younger. Aaron Long, there have been transfer rumors for a while. So at some point, one or both of them was going to go. I'll tell you what, if you're Houston, you got to be jumping for joy. This guy, for me, Tim Parker is Major League Soccer all-star for sure, and I still think he's a U.S. men's national team player, so he could do it all.
So, Shep, when I look at him in the context with Aaron Long, this was a wonderful American partnership in the center back position. To get rid of Tim Parker at this point, I hear what you're saying. Was there any other ways around that? In other words, you know, to find a formidable pairing at the center back position is a pretty nice thing. It's a nice piece of solidarity to know that you have. Was there any other way potentially around that when it came to, you know, the salary cap and the roster in order to keep these two together?
No, that's a great question, and I'll give you the answer because I dug into it with Gerhard Struber and Kevin Thelwell. I'm a monster fan of both of those guys, and I'll get to the Red Bull team and where they're going, but that impacted Tim Parker. Kevin Thelwell knows what he's doing. He's been on the biggest stage. He's worked his way up from a coach to an administrator to the board of directors. I mean, this guy is a well-known commodity in Europe, and Gerhard Struber is a hot property in Europe, and they went out and got him. When I asked them about Tim Parker in particular and Aaron Long and about the future, they laid it out for me in a very business-like fashion. They said, look, I know you keep hearing we're going to go young, but we're going to go young. And both Aaron Long and Tim Parker, we love them. If we could keep them both now for 2021 and win MLS Cup, we wouldn't break up that tandem. But at some point, Aaron Long is going to go in the transfer market or when his contract expires. And we got an offer for Tim Parker at the same time we were offered Andreas Reyes, the young 21-year-old Colombian international who played for Inter Miami, but, you know, so-so. Had a difficult time getting acclimated, had some injuries, but they're very high on him. So once they knew they could get Reyes, and once they turned down the offer for Aaron Long, they said, okay, let's pull the trigger. We're going to have to do this at some point anyway. And that was their thinking. Glenn, when you go down their roster, and I was refreshing it to talk to you, Fabio brought in a young Brazilian striker, 23. Reyes, I just talked about, 21. They signed a 15-year-old. Bento Estrella, a New Jersey kid. Tom Edwards from Stoke City, 22. Kyle Duncan, 23. Caden Clark, 17. Caceres, 21. That's the direction they're going. So, look, would they like to have Tim Parker and Aaron Long together this season? Absolutely. But they saw an opportunity to get Reyes, and they saw an opportunity for them to make a good deal.
Talking to Shep Messing about the New York Red Bulls and Tim Parker and some of the things going on in the world of the Red Bulls. And Shep, the way you laid it out there, how quickly they came back to you with a real clear, concise, direct answer right away. It did not seem like they were, you know, treading any water there. They really have an idea with what they were doing with Tim Parker. So I would say that's a real plus.
Yeah, look, Glenn, you and I have been around the block. We've seen how teams and management operate. I've been, this will be my 21st year in the broadcast booth for first Metro Star, now Red Bull. I've never been more excited. These guys know what they're doing. They're transparent about it. Listen, we all know the success of Leipzig and Red Bull Salzburg. They want to do the same thing here. It's not just about getting young players and shipping them to Leipzig or Salzburg. They want to win here as well, but they have a clear, defined methodology for doing it. Gerhard Struber is well known for his tactics. He actually ratchets up the press a little bit more than Leipzig or Salzburg, usually plays with a diamond in the midfield, and I can't wait to see this team play.
Makes good for a broadcast booth, that's for sure. You know you're going to get some great entertainment. We're talking to Shep Messing here, Madison Square Garden Network, a former goalkeeper for the New York Cosmos, Olympian as well. All right, so You talked about Tim Parker having to change and play in a higher line type of team. So that leads right into Tab Ramos, who's in a 4-3-3 and wants to play a high-pressing game, thus the signing of Tim Parker. How does he defend one-on-one in the open field?
Glenn, I can't talk highly enough about him. You can't beat him. 1v1, you cannot beat him. And again, you know the position. He's often drawn out into a wide position when somebody in a wide area gets beat. He's lights out. I mean, he is so quick. He's so strong. And look, you know, defending is about intelligence too. It's all about the angle of the run. It's the timing. I'll tell you what, Tab Ramos knows what he's doing. This guy's going to be a star in this Houston team, and he's just what Tab needs.
Yeah, and we got to build him up down here more. For some reason, I don't see enough being written about him, because to me, he's the most defining signing for the Dynamo. All right, talk about his distribution, his passing ability for the Houston fan down here.
Well, I'm going to mention something else, though, because you got to get him on the show. You talk about building him up. This guy is a lights-out character, and I mean it in the best sense.
No, I've had him. He was fantastic. I've had him on already. I can't wait to get him on again. I think he is fantastic from a media perspective. Yep. I'm already going to call him the Red Rocker.
I like it. Listen, when young...
Can I go with that, or you think Tim might not like that? Because that guy's big.
Yeah, I think he'll like it. I think he'll like it. Listen, when that kid, Caden Clark, came in and scored a goal in his first game, 17 years old, signed a contract, scored a goal, beat Atlanta. Next game, scores a goal to get a draw against Toronto. And everybody's raving on Twitter and social media. And there's Tim Parker on social media, on Twitter, saying, "Hey, kid, go home and do your homework. Take a break," right?
Yeah.
Look, to your question, his distribution with the ball is good. He can hit a ball 40 yards at an angle and drop it on a dime. He worked hard at it. Again, I mentioned the transition from Vancouver, where they sat deep and he had to play a different role. When he came to Red Bull, I'm at practice often. Tim Parker was working on those elements of his game that you just talked about. Distribution with the ball at his feet. Quick 1-2 passing. Long diagonal passing. So if there's one area of his game that he's improved on tremendously, that's it. Because physically, 1v1 in the air, you can't beat him. So now what does he do with the ball at his feet? He's a work in progress, but he is a threat when he gets forward on set pieces. He's tough to mark. And with the ball at his feet now, after a couple of years with Red Bull, he's very, very good.
And Shep, take us also into which is another key element that the Dynamo are going to get with him, obviously the leadership side of it. I look at this team over the last couple of years, and Eddie Robinson and I have talked, and we've said, I said to him once, I go, "God, this is the nicest team in the league." I mean, there's nobody ever shouts at anybody. Nobody ever is upset at anybody for not tracking a guy back. And I know Tim Parker is going to bring that kind of an element.
That's a great point you make. And I'm trying to think of the game we did last season. I can't remember which one it was, but there was a moment at the end of the game where they won the game, Red Bull. And again, you talk about that partnership. It's Aaron Long, Tim Parker, and Ryan Mara in goal. They gave up a goal late in the game, 10 seconds before the whistle blew. They won the game, maybe 3-1. And there was a scene on the field right there that you're a broadcaster. I talked to the truck and I said, "Camera, zero in on Aaron Long, Tim Parker, and Ryan Mara." And the game had ended 3-1. They just gave up a goal. And there's Tim Parker, Aaron Long, and Ryan Mara. Tim Parker is livid. He's shouting. He's talking to Aaron Long. He's talking to Ryan Mara. And I said, that's our scene set for the next game. This is a guy who competes. This is a guy who's going to fight for every possession in the game.
I find it so fascinating because I want to see, number one, how quickly an outsider can come in and take the reins of that, because I think he's expected to do that. I think Tab Ramos, from the word go, is going to expect him to do that. And then how others react, because it's always interesting, the dynamics of a locker room. And when you're used to one thing and then all of a sudden you get that guy in, if you realize now that you're sitting across him in the locker room and you're going, this guy is going to help change the complexion of our team, it's exciting. some of the teams you've been on. Who was that player maybe back in the day at the New York Cosmos when you looked around? Now, this is not an easy question because there's an awful lot of guys in the Cosmo locker room. But who would be the hard guy maybe that you're going, okay, I'm glad I'm going to battle with him?
Glenn, that is such a loaded question. But you and I always have fun. So you'll appreciate this, right? All I hear about now from coaches and the modern game is really the culture and the chemistry in the locker room, right?
Don't we get killed with that?
Yeah, but let me tell you, and you know where I'm going with it. I played on 5 championship teams, 4 in the indoor league, the New York Arrows, and a big one with the Cosmos. We had the worst locker rooms, guys that hated each other, guys that fought. Steve Jungle, we won our first indoor championship in Philadelphia. I won the MVP of the tournament. We get on a bus to go back to New York, and Jungle's fighting with me that he deserved the trophy. We had animals in the locker room. On the Cosmos, we had Giorgio Canaglia, Stevie Hunt, a young 21-year-old English winger, didn't play the ball into him the right way, and Stevie Hunt cursed him out. What did Giorgio do? He went over and he smacked him in the mouth and knocked him down on the ground. We had guys that fought. I mean, Canaglia is the only guy in the world who tell Pelé, get away from me. You come near me, you draw an extra defender near me, go wide. Who says that to Pelé, right? Yeah. But to your question, we were fighters. And who did you look to on that field or in the locker room? Listen, you look at Pelé. This guy's been, what do I have to say? He's been through the wars, and you know he's big-time money. The real guy was Franz Beckenbauer, who was the silent killer, right? Yeah. If somebody needed a kick, Franz Beckenbauer was going to do it. And Giorgio, too. And Giorgio was a dear friend of mine. One time we played a game in Toronto, and I'm not condoning all this. I'm just telling you what you know. One time we played a game in Toronto, and a player went over the top to try and do Pelé. Over the ball, tried to do him, take him out of the game.
Tried to injure him.
Giorgio went over to him, shook his finger at him, and 10 minutes later, Giorgio broke his leg. Over the ball, broke his leg, stretchered off the field. So, listen, this is a sport at every level where you got to fight for each other. You got to cover up mistakes. You got to support each other. You got to be ready to battle. And Tim Parker for Houston, I'll tell you what, back in my playing days, I'd take Tim Parker in front of me in a heartbeat because I know what he's going to bring to the field.
Well, this is a perfect way to end. Just the last thing before we go, I hear that the governor of New Jersey is going to let fans back into Red Bull Arena. So that's going to be nice for the atmosphere and some of the fans to be able to get back in there.
Yeah, look, we're hoping for that. The announcement was just made. They're talking about 15% of the capacity will be allowed in for an outdoor venue, for an indoor venue, 10%. Look, a couple of thousand people at Red Bull Arena, because of the way that arena is built, the acoustics, it gets pretty loud. So, look, we're hoping one day all across the country we see the stadiums filled. But it's always good to be on with you, Glenn, and I can't wait for us to get back.
We're going to do it again real soon. I always love these interviews with you. You gave us and my listeners tremendous insight into Tim Parker, which I want to keep doing. And to your point, he is a great interview, and I look forward to getting you on again. But I also will get the Red Rocker on. But I honestly, do you think he's okay with that nickname, the Red Rocker?
I'm going to send him a text because right. I don't
you,
want
you. You clear it with me because I don't want to upset Tim. I'm thinking kind of Sammy Hagar, the Red Rocker. Red hair, but, you know, he tackles, he rocks people, right?
No, you know, I actually, he's going to love it. He is going to love it.
You think he'll love it?
Yeah, you'll find out if he doesn't.
No, I know. That'll be the last practice session I'll go to. All right, Shep, thank you so much for coming on tonight. Great interview, good fun, and stay safe on the East Coast.
Stay well, my friend.
He's the one and only Shep Messing. We appreciate tremendous insight there on Tim Parker. We'll take a break here. You can hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Remember, Facebook Soccer Matters. This next break brought to you by Advantage BMW Midtown.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, this is Oliver Luck, and you're listening to Soccer Matters on 97.5 with the irrepressible Glenn Davis.
About that, you get Oliver Luck, and then you get Toots and the Maytals. God rest his soul, Toots, doing the song Pressure Drop. If you remember, the band The Clash began covering a lot of reggae, as well as The Police, and a lot of English bands, a lot of punk bands as well, started weaving reggae into their stuff. All right, we got about 8 or 9 minutes with our next guest. He's built an incredible program at Texas A&M, perennially in the top 10 in the country each and every year, always going to the NCAA playoffs. He is G. Guerrieri, good friend, and the Texas A&M head coach. G., how are you?
I'm doing great. Are we talking reggae and ska music tonight?
You know, we work it all in. You know, the specials, selector. We work it all in. But you know, we may be dating ourselves a little bit as well, G. But this music is timeless. You know that. Who's your favorite reggae band?
Well, obviously, gotta like Bob Marley. But really, I really enjoyed the specials a lot, and English Beat was really my favorite. Really enjoyed a lot of, you know, Mirror in the Bathroom and all the rest.
I saw those guys in live in England on a bill with Lords of the New Church, U2, and The Police all in one concert. And that's when The Police was the headliner, but U2 might have stole the show that night. But look, we want to talk Texas A&M soccer here, so I don't want to get off on this. First thing I want to get you into is you got 7 Houston area players. Taylor Pounds, Challenge, Ali Russell, Barbara Olivieri, and Lauren Gezick, if I'm saying this right, with Albion Hurricanes, Kate Colvin of the Dash. Just talk about the Houston connection with Texas A&M women's soccer.
Well, and we've got 2 more, too. You got Miley Hayes and Macy Matula, who both graduated high school early and are in with us right now. And, I mean, Houston is our backyard, and it's, you know, it's always been an important place for us. But, I mean, we go to where the players are. It's not so much about geography as much as it is about the people that are being developed and growing through those systems. So, you know, all of those clubs have done a great job. We've had players from those clubs for many, many years. And, you know, that's about a third of our team is from Houston. And that's probably the highest percentage that we've ever had. And, I mean, our team obviously goes all across Texas, you know, San Antonio, the Valley, a lot of Dallas-Fort Worth kids. But, you know, it's nice. It's especially nice for the kids in Houston because, I mean, you're only an hour and a half away. The parents are only an hour and a half away from Ellis Field and get a chance to come up and be around without being, you know, looking over the kids' shoulders all the time.
G. Guerrieri joining us, Texas A&M head coach. All right, how challenging has this been with the dual season now? You know, you played a lot of SEC competition in the fall. Not everybody played. Now you're into the spring. What's the schedule kind of look like? And then, you know, let me just give you a platform to kind of take us into, you know, what you know about the upcoming season, because I know there's still a lot of unknown. And there is a college cup, so I'm just kind of wondering, you know, how you find some level of consistency when it comes to giving out NCAA bids, too.
Well, it'll be tough. I mean, real quick, there's about 338 teams in the NCAA Division I. 31 conferences, you know, obviously SEC, Big 12 are huge, but all the way down to Southland and a lot of small colleges, the SWAC. So all of those teams typically get an automatic bid to the tournament. Well, 25 of those 31 teams kind of punted on the fall and decided they would go into the spring, even though many of them still played their men's football season in the fall. So that was kind of a double standard, in my opinion. So the SEC was one of those leagues that played our champion. We wanted to play it in the fall. We wanted to make it meaningful, but because of COVID, we had to adjust the way things were. So rather than playing, you know, 2 games a week, followed by 1 game, followed by 2, we only played 1 game a week, which frankly was awesome, just to be able to prepare, you know, in a professional type of manner. And, you know, Texas A&M were champions of the league again. And we did not win the SEC tournament, which was won by Vanderbilt. So they won the automatic qualifier. So But we're one of those teams that are looking for one of those at-large bids, and it's different. It's just different this year because now those other 25 conferences, all except for the Ivy and the Big West so far, are going to play in the spring. So the NCAA has shrunk the size of the tournament from 64 to 48. They're taking advantage of the opportunities that COVID gives to do less. And, you know, it'll just make it that much more competitive to get in. And the fact that, you know, we only played SEC teams in the fall, you know, we're only playing teams outside the SEC, but so many teams are only playing teams in their league. It's really hard to get a meaningful game and a game that's going to really help your team out. So our schedule has been very challenging as far as, you know, finding the right teams to play and getting the games that are going to help us as we build our resume for hopefully selection in mid-April. And the College Cup is in the middle of May. I think the national championship game is on May 16th. So it's kind of it's different because we took this break over the Christmas holidays. Then we come back. You're always holding your breath because of the COVID issues. Is someone going to be positive and contact trace and put, you know, six other people in COVID jail for a period of days? And it's just consistency is the biggest challenge. Planning is almost impossible just because you're more than anything, you're just reacting, responding, and just trying to keep yourself moving forward. And I was pleased with how our fall went because our girls really stayed focused, you know, and did everything they could. They played great. And now we come around, we lost two of our best players for the right reasons. They graduated, and now Addie McCain is playing in NWSL up in Kansas City, and Jimena Lopez, who plays with the full Mexican team, is playing in First Division in Spain. So those players aren't with us, but we're still, you know, we're still loaded. We've still got a great side.
G. Guerrieri joining us here, head coach of Texas A&M women's soccer team. Incredible program. He's done an amazing job. Really, you've taken this thing to another level. And when I kind of look at your career and the way you've just built this program up from all the other incidentals, like the environment, the playing environment, the field, the stadium, the efforts that you've made in a lot of other areas, not just coaching, which in itself is enough, but mentally this year for you, was this a challenge? I mean, you know, look, coaches always have to put the brave face on to their players, but was this a year that was challenging to you personally, G. Guerrieri?
Absolutely. I can tell you one of the great advantages that we have at Texas A&M is we have a team of sports psychologists, and I used, you know, our psychologist as much as anybody. Just, you know, again, just the unknowns, and, you know, there's always more questions than answers, and just, you know, trying to keep everything in perspective, you know, stay positive in what's going to happen. And it was, that's, you know, the people that are working with our players and who I chat with are, you know, they're caring. They're very professional. They understand the competitive nature of sports, especially big time college sports. And, it's tough. It's tough on these kids. It's been incredibly difficult. And that's what I really felt bad about. You know, in the SEC, the Big 12, we had a can do, let's find a way to make this happen. And I think so many other conferences took advantage of not having to play and spend money on, you know, soccer and other minor sports in the fall. And it's just so tough on those kids who soccer is a big part of their college experience. And now it was taken away from their fall. The spring is a very much abbreviated season for them, and there's still all these question marks. So it really has been difficult. I mean, I'm so proud of our players and so many of the players out there that have been able to just kind of soldier through this thing. And, you know, and for us, though, it was a super challenge. There was a lot of crappy things that went on in 2020, but for our girls to come out of it winning another championship ring was all of a sudden kind of lemonade out of lemons was the way that we looked at it.
Gee, you're the best. Thanks for coming on. Keep up the good work. And I know I'm going to make a trip up to watch a game if I'm allowed to. Can I come in the stadium and watch a game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're allowed up to 25%. And we actually had the, just like our football team, we led the nation in attendance for, we filled to the amount we were allowed to. So it's still a great environment. I'm looking forward to hopefully being able to come down to some Dynamo and Dash games this this spring.
All right,
you let me
know on that front. I'll let you know if I'm coming up to watch a game, because I'd love to take the drive. The drive is a beauty. G. Guerrieri, Texas A&M women's soccer. Thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thanks, buddy. Bye bye.
All right, that's G. Guerrieri. So this is Gary Numan. You know the song Cars? Do you realize how many times that has been sampled and covered? I watched a documentary on him. And, you know, Gary Numan, yeah, it's a little dark. I don't know why I always got into it. I think it was over in England in one summer in the north of England, Newcastle. When they were playing a lot of Gary Numan. A lot of people that resent him because he somehow just broke in really quickly. But he was all about the Moog, you know, electronic. People have sampled his music beyond belief. Gary Numan, Cars. Everybody knows that song. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Matt Beisler, Austin FC. This is a great interview, and there's a little music in this one, too. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are the presenting sponsors of this show. Just go to DaspitLaw.com, but you can also get in touch with them. It's easy. 713-322-HURT. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. They'll work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. Hey, just put something up on Twitter. Do you like the nickname for Tim Parker, the new Dynamo signing at center back, Red Rocket? Do you like that? I want your response, because it's kind of a little nod to Sammy Hagar, his red hair. But rocker, as in, you know, he's going to rock opposing forwards in the tackle. You know what I mean? Tim Parker, Red Rocker. You like it or not? Let me know.
ESPN 97.5. Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
All right, final segment of the night. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. If you get in an accident, a car, boat, motorcycle, you might drive an 18-wheeler or work in a refinery, might do construction, John and his firm, they're going to represent you. 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Daspit Law Firm is going to bring you a personalized approach, and they're going to work for you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get that representation you need with the Daspit Law Firm. Also, you will be supporting a firm that gets soccer on the airwaves and has done it for a extended period of time. So, speaking of John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, last night up in Austin on the Horn, DaspitLawAustin.com. You can contact them up in the Austin area. Great interview with Matt Beisler. 12 years at Sporting Kansas City, became a free agent, signed with Austin FC, expected to bring the experience and some of the composure to a new team being put together under Josh Wolf. I thought this interview was so good that I wanted you to hear it here in Houston. Here is Matt Beisler, former member of Sporting Kansas City, now with Austin FC. So first off, I just want to touch on what you guys have done, Austin FC 2021 Storm Relief Fund. I just took a look. You're over $44,000. You've got people from around the country, other supporters group. Fantastic job, and you must be pretty proud of what's going on here, connecting with the community.
Absolutely. Blown away. I mean, it's pretty amazing what's happened. This went from a quick idea that we had as a team to, you know, something that's going to make an extremely large impact on our community. So everything happened fast and quick. That's the beauty of GoFundMe and, you know, technology. But yeah, I mean, we're blown away by the support that we've received, not only from, you know, our local community here in Austin, but, you know, the state of Texas, and everywhere in the entire nation. Like you said, the soccer community has really come together. It's been really cool to see so many different people from different parts of the country and you know, the different supporters and fans willing to contribute. So that part's been amazing.
Talking to Matt Beisler now with Austin FC, it's kind of weird to say that. I'm going to have to admit that. But I want to just remind people, Matt has always been very benevolent when it comes to reaching back to the community. I do remember you with Sporting Kansas City working with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and I remember that. So as somebody who does a lot of work with pediatric cancer here in Houston, those things jump out to me. So congratulations for all the charity work that you do. All right, so you first find out you're coming to Austin FC. You know, this has to be a little bit emotional here. 12 years at Sporting, multiple All-Star, Best 11, MLS Cups. It's been your loan club. You're from Overland Park in the area. Yeah, tell me what range of emotion you went through.
Yeah, I was excited to get down here and get started. You know, I think the best thing that you can do, you know, in a situation where you're going through a big change in your life is just to get to work, you know, and to get your feet on the ground. And so I wanted to come down here as early as I could and just get started. You know, I think that was going to help me, you know, remove myself from my time in Kansas City and just move on quicker. Cause, you know, like you said, I pretty much spent my entire life in Kansas City. So I have a lot of great memories there. But like I said, this is a new challenge for me, a new chapter. And, I'm really looking forward to it. I've been so impressed by everything so far. Minus the catastrophic snowstorm that we just went through. Everything else has been first class. I mean, you know, when I was talking with the people in Austin before I signed, you know, there were certain things they told me about what the club was going to be about, you know, the environment, the atmosphere, what they were trying to build, and they haven't missed. I mean, they've been spot on with everything. The coaching staff has been unbelievable. I've really enjoyed, you know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time with the coaching staff yet. Just little interactions here and there. I've been really impressed. And the really cool thing, too, I want to add this, is that, you know, right now we're still doing voluntary workouts. And the season doesn't start for us until next week, once everybody gets cleared for COVID. But I think 100% of the players came down to Austin on their own. Came down early, trying to get settled, get a feel for the city, figure out where they're living, and wanted to get together as a group. And I think that just says a lot about the players that they brought in. You know, there's no egos, or at least it doesn't seem like there's any egos. Everyone wants to come in, work hard, and hopefully create something special here.
Matt Beisler joining us here. Outstanding career. You remember breakout 2014 World Cup. Just played outstanding. After that, there was a lot of talk about you potentially going to Europe, and a lot was made about you really wanting to stay home and help build Sporting Kansas City and be a part of the organization that was essentially in your own backyard growing up. Any regrets ever not playing overseas? Because you had opportunity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for sure. There's always going to be regrets. Well, let me be clear. I don't think regret is the right word, because I don't think I regret it. You know, I don't sit here and, you know, say to myself, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. I mean, I feel like that's more the tone when you say you regret something. I would just say there's curiosity. There's always the what ifs. You know, I'm always going to wonder what it would have been like, or if I would have, you know, done it or succeeded, or, you know, and I'll carry that with me, you know, till I die. I'll be 50, 60 years old one day, sitting on the front porch, you know, having a beer or something, and, you know, always wondering, wow, what would have been like if I would have gone over to Fulham or gone over to England or whatever the club was. But, you know, I don't change my stance. I mean, I think at the time, you know, I was still in the middle of this big project that we were building in Kansas City, and I wasn't ready to let that go. You know, I still felt like there was plenty to achieve. We were just coming off a championship. I had just been named captain of my hometown team, and I wasn't ready to walk away. I felt like there was still so much to give back and so much to achieve, like I said. And so, I mean, that was kind of the basis of it. Behind the scenes, I will say, I mean, there were so many moving parts. As you know, as anyone that follows MLS knows, there's a lot of complications when it comes to transfers and guys moving in and out of the country and all that stuff. So it was always going to be a pretty hard move. And in some ways, a lot of ways, it was out of my hands. But, you know, I'm satisfied. I'm glad with how my career has worked out so far.
And I would say then also that Major League Soccer wasn't as willing maybe at that point to be, selling their stars over to Europe. That attitude seems to have changed quite a lot in the last 6-7 years as well. Talking to Matt Beisler here, played at Notre Dame from Overland Park, Sporting Kansas City, 47 caps. He's a new center back for Austin FC. You were in a really relevant market. The one beautiful thing you can say about your career, you've been playing in front of fans and in markets that are really, really relevant and connected emotionally, and you're really jumping into another one here in Austin. Do you see some similarities with Sporting Kansas City and Austin FC as organizations, despite the fact that the cities are very different?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I would actually argue that in some ways the cities are very similar. I was trying to explain to my family, some of my family members back in Kansas City were asking me, you know, how it's going so far and how's Austin and how would I describe it? And it reminds me a lot about Kansas City. I think the size is probably pretty similar. You know, it's got it's a big city in my mind. It's a big city, but it's got this small community feel where everything's connected and, you know, you can get around pretty easily. There's a lot to do, but the people, you know, you can feel the passion that the people have for their city. You know, they're prideful. You know, people that live in Austin, they like living in Austin and they're prideful about it. And so I think that's very, very similar to what I experienced in Kansas City. I think it bodes well for a strong fan base too. And so, you know, I've run into multiple people already who have been, you know, saying, I've been waiting for 3 years for this. You know, I've been waiting for a year. I've been a season ticket holder. I've been on the waiting list for 2.5 years, blah, blah, blah. And so this thing has really been building up. It's not like it's happened in the last, you know, 3 months. This thing has been, it's been a project. People have been waiting for it. The excitement's been building and, you know, hopefully we can start the first year in a strong way.
Yeah. Fan base has been really patient, but, the organic stuff that's going on that you're talking about as well has been absolutely remarkable to watch. And I agree with you 100%. The organization's hit it out of the park at every turn. Matt Beisler, Austin FC center back. Taking it position specific, because watching you over your career, I've always been impressed. Number one, I love center backs that have a level of composure. Your level of composure is off the charts. Obviously, very cerebral. You're a thinker. Your team's in attack. You're thinking about where your next starting point's going to be, where you need to be. Take me a little bit into that, you know, as far as starting points as a center back and the things you're thinking about when your team's in attack and you're bringing a team up the field and positionally where you may need to be and some of the things that can be the advantage over younger guys, and that is the brain.
Oh, well, I appreciate you saying that about about everything. The composure part is a big piece of my game. You know, I think that body language plays a big role in sports, obviously. And so, you know, I think you have to have guys on your team that, you know, are the emotional guys, you know, the fiery guys, you know, where they're hard on the sleeve type guys. But I also think you have to have the steady guys. You have to have the composed guys under pressure, the consistent guys, all those things. And I think I probably fall into that category. And, you know, being someone in the back, you know, sometimes the ball's bouncing all over the place and, you know, you're trying to get control of the ball. And, you know, that's something that I try to provide for the teams that I play on, is just that calming influence in the back. You know, guys, everything's going to be all right. You know, let's get the ball. Let's get possession back. Let's take a breath. And, you know, we're good enough to get through this situation and we're going to win the game, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff. So, but in terms of kind of what I'm thinking about during the game to me is a puzzle. It's just a big puzzle, and you're trying to You're trying to find little pieces before the other team finds the pieces, and then you try and put them together. And, you know, sometimes you find the wrong piece or you put the piece in the wrong spot, and, you know, you've got to make up for it. But, you know, the goal is to put the piece or put the puzzle together before anybody else can. And that's, you know, something that I've always tried to do in my career. And, you know, a specific example is, you know, when the ball's up, you know, in the attacking end of the field and, you know, there's a cross that's about to be served in on your team, instead of just standing there and watching the play happen, you know, you have to be assessing what's happening around you. And so you're always assessing what your numbers are like in the back, how many guys you have. You know, typically you always like to have one number up. And so if there's two forwards that are hanging out up there, then you need to have three defenders back with you. But sometimes there's cheaters, and sometimes there's midfielders on the other team who, you know, maybe are labeled as lazy or whatever, and they don't get back as probably as far as they should. And so now you maybe have three or four guys on the other team. And if you don't organize that situation, what happens is the cross gets served in, the ball pops out to one of those guys, and they turn, and now all of a sudden that team's on a counterattack. So you go from a situation of, you know, a positive situation for you getting across in the box to having to defend a counterattack. And that's a lot of work. And so if you can kind of put out the fires before they happen, it's just going to make your life easier, you know.
That was a great way to finish the night here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. It's happening up in Austin. We now have three Major League Soccer teams here in the state of Texas. The bar is being raised. It's going to lead to some great rivalry and some great opportunity for traveling fans to check out other stadiums. Let's hope we get a lot of fans back into stadiums in the near future. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. GlennDavisSoccer.com. You can hit me up over there. Also on Instagram. Podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, and PodcastArena.com. A big thank you to Aaron Raybould, as always, producing in an extraordinary manner. And for all of us here at the firm, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Tuesday night, 7 o'clock Central, remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.